The opinions expressed in Fandomology Reblog are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
What do Twilight, My Chemical Romance, Oppenheimer, and Ellen have in common?
It's today's New York Times Connections category, how media affects media.
This is Fandomology Reblog.
So, I like Twilight a lot.
Do you want to hear a really fun thing about Twilight?
Well, yes. I could take any Twilight fact, like, give it to me, you know?
Twilight exists because of 9/11.
So, I fear, is today's episode about Twilight, or...?
Not exactly. So, you're a big fan of Twilight, right?
Well, yes.
Did you know that Twilight only exists because of 9/11?
Only exists because of 9/11?
Okay, like, maybe there's other paths that could have happened, but in essence, yes.
In this Earth, in this universe,
yes,
it's because of 9/11.
Yes, and the timeline, the pipeline, I guess I should say, is truly bizarre. Have you heard of this?
It maybe come up a couple times of like, oh, 9/11 is related to Twilight, but I never really understood the connection.
So here's the connection. It's truly bizarre. In 2001, Gerard Way is standing on like a dock in New Jersey. And he witnesses 9/11. He witnesses the towers fall. And for some reason, that sparks something in him that he needs to start a band.
So My Chemical Romance is also connected to 9/11.
Yes.
And to Twilight.
Yes.
So this is all coming full circle here. It's a grand episode coming on.
It's all coming together.
Okay.
So Gerard goes and starts this band called My Chemical Romance with his brother Mikey, who, mind you, had just turned 21 on September 10th. So you know for a fact that he was hungover out of his mind when his brother came, like, racing into their home, like, we need to start a band. That probably wasn't his first thought, but, you know. Anyways, My Chemical Romance becomes a band. It gets super popular. And somewhere out there, a repressed Mormon named Stephanie Myers,
the creator of Twilight.
The creator of Twilight begins to write fan fiction about Gerard Way. Eventually, she changes the names of the characters, and lo and behold, we now have Twilight.
So Twilight is MCR fan fiction.
Yes.
Okay. That kind of makes sense, actually.
And here's the fun part. The pipeline actually goes further than that.
To what?
So after Twilight, E.L. James starts writing Twilight fanfiction.
Yes.
She then once more changes the names of the characters.
To 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. Now 50 Shades of Grey. We got a movie from 50 Shades of Grey. It's
starring,
super popular.
Starring
Dakota Johnson.
Okay.
And do we all remember that iconic moment of Dakota Johnson on Ellen where she was like, that's not true, Ellen.
That actually resurfaced recently because of The Materialist coming out.
Yes.
But yes, like, obviously.
And that
love
started
that clip.
And that started the downfall of Ellen. So in a crazy pipeline, 9/11 caused the downfall of Ellen.
So 9/11 happened, mm-hmm. which made My Chemical Romance, mm-hmm. which made Twilight, mm-hmm. and Twilight made 50 Shades of Grey.
Correct.
That stars Dakota Johnson going on Ellen, mm-hmm. and because of That's Not True, Ellen, that became her downfall.
That was the beginning of the end for Ellen.
And wait, recap me a little bit, why was that the downfall of Ellen? Like, why was that scene specifically was what made Ellen go down?
So the whole thing with Ellen is that there had been like rumors and murmurs for years about what she was like to work with and that she was a total nightmare. But Ellen had such like a persona of just like being like just like an your everyday gal.
Oh, like the whole so, you know, on the show we see Ellen as like this very welcoming, kind of like a Jimmy Fallon,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Super personable and kind,
yeah.
Like fun, funny,
and like very like perky, like very,
yeah.
I guess like energetic kind, mm-hmm. of thing. But than like what people were saying. Oh, like she's actually terrible behind the scenes. And
yeah, like a lot of like people who like worked like cast and crew, like apparently like weren't allowed to look her in the eye. And apparently she's like very sensitive to smells. And if she thought you like smelled bad, she'd like make you go home and change or shower.
Well, that's just rude.
Yeah, like actually like crazy stuff like that. But like people had, there'd been murmurings about it, but Ellen was just so beloved that no one ever really took it seriously until on the show, Dakota Johnson was like, that's not true, Ellen. And then people started going back and looking at all these other things.
Like when like Ellen said something to Dakota that wasn't true, I'm guessing. And then
yeah, it was about Dakota's birthday. Because Ellen was like, I would have loved an invite. And Dakota was like, you were invited.
Oh.
And she's like, also, I didn't think you'd want to be invited. And then she's like, who would I invite?
No, I remember this. Yes. I remember now. Yes. Oh, my
gosh. That's what happened. And then people were going back and finding like old videos of her like talking to like Eva Longoria.
Yeah,
we love her. And I'm being like, oh my god, like your accent, it's getting, your English is getting so much better. And like just kind of being condescending about her accent. And then there was also the time that Mariah Carey came on. This is actually crazy. Trigger warning for pregnancy loss. Mariah Carey, there were rumors that she was pregnant, but she hadn't announced anything yet. Mariah Carey goes on to the Ellen show, and Ellen asks about it, and Mariah like laughs it off. She's like, oh no, you know, can't say anything, Ellen. And then Ellen brings out two flutes of champagne and is like, well then let's just have a drink, let's share a drink, basically forcing her to show her hand, because obviously if she's pregnant she can't drink.
Exactly.
So she was then forced to admit that she was pregnant on Ellen, and then had to then announce a couple like month or so later that she had lost the baby. Because it was so early on in the pregnancy, like they always say, like you should normally like wait some time before announcing it generally. Mm-hmm. And she ended up losing the baby, and no one ever called Ellen out for that.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's really sad too, actually.
It's awful. And so people started going back and finding these clips of Ellen just being rude and condescending. Like there was one time she had I believe he was Chinese, and he had an interpreter, a Chinese boy. And Ellen was asking questions, and the interpreter was interpreting. But Ellen decided...
As he should.
As the interpreter should. But Ellen decided that the interpreter was speaking too much. Like, she was like, just tell him what I said, because the interpreter... So the interpreter was, like, trying to give...
I've seen that clip before.
Where she's trying to give, like, the boy some context, what's happening, and also, like, who... Like, I mean, I don't speak Chinese or Mandarin or anything. I'm not even sure what language it was. But, like, maybe that language just has a more complex structure to ask those questions. I mean, like, I speak French and English, and, like...
French has so many much, like, longer sentences. I also like something have learned French as well.
Yeah. Like, something in English that can take, like... three words to say might need six in French.
Exactly.
And also, the translator is also trying to give the kid some like context of what's happening.
Like, you're like,
and then Ellen got like, she was getting like pissy. She was like, can you just tell him what I said? Can you say what I said? I know. And so that's what caused, that's like, but it was all because of the Dakota video of her being like, that's not how that happened, which is all because of 50 Shades of Grey is what got her really popular and onto the show. And 50 Shades was Twilight fan fiction. Twilight fan fiction was heavily inspired by My Chemical Romance. My Chemical Romance formed because of 9/11.
That's crazy.
And an interesting other like diversion of that as well is that Robert Pattinson got big because of Twilight. Well, bigger, he was in Harry Potter, but he's mostly known for Twilight.
Cedric, my guy.
Us versus not mentioning Harry Potter.
Can't. We literally can't.
Level impossible.
Live, left, love.
Live, left, love, Harry Potter, but not J.K. Rowling.
But not J.K. Rowling. Turfs.
Yeah, turfs suck. Anyways, because of Twilight, he became a much more well-known actor. And I mean, he has spent a lot of time breaking out of the unfortunate typecast of Edward.
Edward.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like he's an incredible actor. And he ended up acting in Tenet. And there was like a rap party. And Robert Pattinson gave a book about Oppenheimer to Christopher Nolan, who read the book and then became obsessed with Oppenheimer's story, which then led to him wanting to make a movie about Oppenheimer. So 9/11 also caused the Oppenheimer movie and Barbenheimer. So I don't know, this pipeline is just one of my favorites of just like seeing how like media affects media. And like there are so many other cases, like I think, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure like the Mortal Instruments might have been a Harry Potter fan fiction.
Really? That's actually kind of crazy because The Mortal Instruments, that's the Cassandra Clare
series,
right? Sure is.
I have a tattoo of it on my leg. Kind of like conflicting opinions on whether it was Harry Potter fan fiction. So Cassandra Clare did write Harry Potter fan fiction. That is like a fact. And some people say that the characters in The Mortal Instruments are similar to how she wrote some of the characters in her Harry Potter fan fiction. Some people say it started off as Harry Potter fan fiction and then changed, but... So I don't know. But just, I don't know. I think it's just so interesting with how media affects media in that way.
Yes, Keisha. That's actually interesting because in my... Hypothetically, if this became a thing... It would also be a media affects media type of situation because in dramatic writing, we were supposed to make a script of a anthology or a short, like a film that you want to create or a show. I chose a show that I want to make and did make that story into a real thing mm-hmm. of like a magic academy and all that type of stuff. It's actually inspired by Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's basically a self... Can't believe I'm admitting this on a Spirit Live podcast.
Is it a self-insert?
It's a self-insert.
I don't know. The whole thing with, like, media, like you said, like, it kind of inspired by Harry Potter. I mean, we both remember the dystopian YA craze after Hunger Games.
Oh, definitely. We have, like, the Maze Runner.
Then Divergent. Which, okay, did that last movie ever come out?
Oh, no. Did it?
I don't know. Some people say it's like direct to TV or something. I've not been able to find it.
I know, you're saying.
Because I'm still mad about how that ended, by the way. It's so stupid. I'm just saying that if I died and then my best friend married my boyfriend, I'm coming back from the dead and causing some problems.
I am rising.
From the grave.
Rising up. Sorry, I was about to break into song lyrics. I had to stop myself.
That was just the time, and everyone had to be split into, there were, you know, there was a districts, and then, or there was, like, what was it in Divergent, what did they call them, the factions.
The factions, yes.
Or, you know, and it's just, like, it was just, like, okay, we're starting to see a pattern here, of like, well, Harry Potter had the four houses, and then it kind of
started from there, and also,
Lord of the Rings was also heavily inspired Harry Potter.
Yeah. And also, not even that, too. Like, it's how media connects with other media.
Yes.
When I love Narnia, I love the books and I love the movies, which I'm really sad they never continued. Sorry. I'm really sad they never continued the movies because it doesn't end with Prince Caspian. There's more to it, okay, guys?
There is more.
But... Spoiler alert, they all die except for Susan. Anyways.
Rip them kids.
Rip them kids. But no, it's the fact that when you dive into that Narnia rabbit hole, out of nowhere, they're going to connect it to the Harry Potter houses. Mm-hmm. So how they connected that Susan is a Ravenclaw, Peter is a Gryffindor, Lucy is a Hufflepuff, and Edmund is a Slytherin. Or how sometimes they think that Peter and Lucy should be switched, where Lucy's a Gryffindor and Peter's a Hufflepuff. And it's like, in a way, like, that was kind of like my little trilogy when I was younger of mm-hmm. like... Narnia, Harry Potter, and then it'll go in between either Hunger Games or Percy Jackson, you know?
Yes.
Like, they all kind of, when those were, like, the main things that got popular at the same time, and you grew up with it, people start to kind of mingle and mix them together, and from there, so much other stuff start branching out because they got popular.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it comes back to the concept of the four humors, which was Hippocrates, I believe I'm saying his name right, I think. But he believed in the theory of the four humors, is that within all of us, we have blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm, which, first of all, ew. Yeah, literally. But he believed, and that was, like, the traits that we... It was the four main traits that we'd have, and depending how much concentration we had of those humors within us would describe, you know, what kind of person we were. And we see that echoed in Harry Potter. And, I mean, like, Narnia was written in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still see the echoes of, like, the Harry Potter, like, houses and their, like, behaviors and, like, their characterizations in Narnia. And the same thing in Divergent. where you see a lot of...
You see the people who are on the smarter side or the braver
side. Dauntless would have been Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. You know, Abnegation was probably more like your Hufflepuff. Like, and it was just kind of... It was very fascinating. And it's just like... It was an interesting time because just like every movie that was coming out was a book adaptions. Also, after Harry Potter became huge, it wasn't as common of a thing for there to be like book to movie adaptions. I mean, it was common, but not as common as it is now, where like every single movie or even TV show that you watch is like based on the novel by.
Yeah, or based on the story by whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and like, I personally think a lot of that happened because of the Harry Potter series, because they got so big.
They got so popular. And then they created Narnia. They created The Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings trilogy came out at the same time.
Yeah, and then The Hobbit,
Hunger Games, Maze Runner movies.
They also did Game of Thrones. Their series now.
You know, and it's just like, it's been, like, that was kind of a game changer of, like, book to movie adaptions or book to screen adaptions.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's so interesting to see how different, like, how you can kind of trace fads through time.
Exactly. Like, how one thing, it got popular, and they're like, oh, let's do that. And then now it became the norm of society of, like, there's a book, now there needs to be some kind of screen adaptation to it. Like, recently there's been going around some craze how maybe Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros might be put into a TV shows
have been big now. That's been a more recent shift, because I mean you have like Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones
the Witcher.
A TV show, and The Witcher. And then you also have Foundation on Apple TV, incredible. Mm-hmm. They're taking way too long for the next season. I would like more, please.
Thank you.
But the Percy Jackson show that's out now.
Yeah, the Percy Jackson, which was, they adapted into movies, and then
the TV
and
show.
And then the TV
the
show.
The Mortal Instruments, we only got one movie, unfortunately, but now it's a TV show that I didn't like.
Which I think they actually stopped.
I think it's been over for a couple of years. I mean, 'cause it started when I was in high school, and I was in high school like 10 years ago, so. Which I don't like saying that.
I covered my ears. I didn't hear anything.
I'm old. Okay, technically, I was in high school like 6 years ago, but I was in grade 9 10 years ago. Yep. That is how time works. Anyways.
Moving on.
And then now there's also the Harry Potter TV show that is in the works. So we're seeing more, like, we had the movies, but a common criticism of movies was that there were so many things they couldn't add in. Like, in the Harry Potter movies, like, we never see Peeves.
No, we don't.
Because
we don't see
him. There was no need, really. He didn't push the story forward, so we didn't need to see him.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another thing, too, now, is that because Harry Potter removed certain aspects, when those screen adaptations happened, they were thinking, oh, we don't need to include every single aspect. Let's take out some stuff.
But it's also, like, impossible to... I mean, if the book... Like, for example, like, Order of the Phoenix is, like, 800 pages or something. Like, something crazy like that. There's no way that they could, you know, have actually scrunched all of that into a movie at 2.5 hours. I mean, even with the Deathly Hallows being two parts, they still missed parts of the books.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because books are just by nature far more detailed than TV shows because in TV shows and movies, it's you can see more things.
But it's also hard to execute some things too, especially when you're trying to adapt from a fantasy novel.
Yes.
Like, there's
CGI
just some
and stuff, especially in the 2010s, it was only so good.
But, and which is why Harry Potter became successful, because their editing was done really well.
It was.
For their time.
For that time, no, it was. It was very well shot.
Very nice.
The effects were pretty solid. They stand up quite well to this day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do agree. Like, it's something that you would see now, and it's kind of like a classic, the way it's edited with a mix of both CGI and practical effects.
Yes.
And just a little sidetrack, this isn't a media affected by media kind of thing, but it's the fact that I feel like, a little film bro coming out of me, we are straying too far from the use of practical effects, and everything these days is like virtual, green screen, CGI. And obviously there are some things that you can't do in terms of either money-wise or just really accessibility-wise to do something practical. But I think the loss of the practical effects is also the loss of the magic of cinema.
I agree. I mean, I feel like in a lot of industries, but especially in film, we become a bit too reliant
on like the virtual digital stuff.
On the virtual digital stuff. Like, I love working in film. I think it's just, when I take film photography, it's just nice because unlike when I'm doing digital, I'll take like 200 pictures, 300 pictures. I'll just keep snapping. I'm not really thinking about it. But when I take film, I'm a lot more mindful about what I'm taking a photo of.
Yeah, because like I only have the positioning of everything.
Yeah, because I only have 32 exposures, you know what I mean? And then I have to get them developed. And, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm in a way, I'm being more conscious of what I'm taking pictures of, but also I'm not adjusting the ISO and the aperture and, oh, the lighting, you know, I'm like, I'm just snapping photos to take photos. And they almost always end up looking pretty cool. But I think, no, I agree, the use of practical effects and even like, I mean, something that really pissed me off in this last Oscar season was Adrien Brody having
we're back to Adrien Brody. Flashback to like I think the second episode.
Yeah, but again, they had to use AI to alter his
voice.
Accent.
Yeah, his accent.
I don't think that is. I don't know whether that's right or wrong, but I don't think that should disqualify him from the award. But I mean, it's like, actors normally put in months and months and months of practice of working with vocal coaches. Like, for Margot Robbie, it was very funny when they, in The Wolf of Wall Street, she's working with her voice coach, and the voice coach apparently told her, this is actually on Ellen, I think she said this.
And welcome back to Ellen.
Welcome back to Ellen.
Everything affected by media, everything is connected.
Yeah, but I remember it being like her voice coach told her, imagine you have really long acrylic nails on. And she's like, how's that going to help? And she goes, okay, now talk like you have long nails. She goes, okay. And then I just kind of started talking. And all of a sudden, this accent came out of me. And I was like, that's so funny.
And that's the thing, too.
And that's how she got her accent for Wolf of Wall Street, was her acting coach being, her voice coach being like,
I think
you
it's
have
really
long
useful,
nails
though,
on.
Because it's like when I try, well, my accents are never that good. But when I do have like,
what was that? I don't know.
That was not a cough. That was a. Sorry, continue on. Like those kind of things, they do kind of work, and it's just a little bit of like effort to be put in it because like I'm not good at accents, of course. But it's just getting into the character and even just attempting that accent to see if you can even kind of do it. Like my country accent, my Australian accent is bad, but to get into my country accent, I pretend I have like a hat and I'd be like, sorry. So as you can see, this episode has been kind of all over the place.
It has. And I feel like we've mentioned a lot of the things that we've talked about in our previous episodes. I mean, Harry Potter, we talked about My Chemical Romance.
We even mentioned just a tad bit of like a little bit of MCU.
A little bit of MCU there, Sebastian Stan
and Oscars. But I think that just shows how media affects media in many ways.
It's all
more than one.
It's all connected.
So like after this episode, like does this go under like the 9/11 fandom or the
Okay. And I think this episode has been
The final episode. Has been reblogged.
Reblogged. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.